I'm not going to talk for very long. I just want to point out something that I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to hear today. And I believe it'll be helpful. Turn in your Bibles to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. The 15th chapter. And I'll read at least some of the story that we just watched. Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 11. And then he said, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to, his livelihood. And not many days, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, where there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen from that country, and he sent him.
Sorry.
I thought I was part of a play right now or something. I'm trying to think what my line is. It's weird. Okay, where was I? Okay, chapter, verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods of the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, let's say that together, say that with me. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before him. Notice verse 18 again. Listen to these words. And he says, I will arise and go to my father. Let's say that together. I will arise and go to my father. In verse 19, and I am no longer, here's what you're going to say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Here's what I want you to notice. Look at how the father reacts to the son who has lived foolishly with evil living. Look at how he responds to him. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Look what he does, and ran and fell at his neck and kissed him. Do you see the word picture? Don't just let me read it to you. Hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. Look at how he responds. You know what? He runs, he falls on his neck, and he kisses him. And the son said to him, 21, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He's rehearsing what he had already said, what he had already made a decision to say. But the father, look at verse 22, the father stops and just doesn't, it's like he's not even talking. Look what he says, verse 22. And the father said to the servants, the son's talking to him. He just kind of cuts him off and just starts telling the servants what to do. Look what he says. You know what? And the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. You know, I won't talk a long time, but I do want to share to you what what I heard God say, and I kind of knew it in the first service that this would be something that I would share with the first and the second service. But I just hear the Lord speaking and saying something very, very direct to us. You know, God is such a good God because he'll speak honestly with you. Here's what you can count. You can count a lot of things on God, but one thing that you can count on God, he will be honest with you. Now, let me preface it in correlation with this text. This young man is deceived, and he's deceived the same way that many of us are deceived, in thinking that that a godly, righteous way to live is a bad way to live, or not so much a bad way to live, but thinking that a righteous living is going to hinder you from living a good life. See, Satan has become very, very effective in disguising sin so it doesn't look like really what it is. Sin is like the apple that the princess, I forget, Snow White ate. But there was poison in that apple. But it's not presented like that. And so sin is the same way. And when it's time to forgive your spouse and let it go, you know what? But you have your friends calling you on the phone and telling you you shouldn't take it from him. And you know what? You shouldn't take it from her. And she doesn't treat you right and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, it seems glamorous. You know what? It seems, it seems like a good idea to tell him a piece of your mind, to tell your boss a piece of, you know what? And you get these ideas. You know, like he got, where this kind of living became something that he yearned for, something that he thought was good. Can I tell you, Satan is masterful in telling, this is masterful in doing this, in disguising sin as looking good. The Bible says, woe to him who calls evil good and good evil. And we are that way in our society. And it can even creep into the church where we start thinking that good is that a righteous living is a lower kind of living. Because if I live righteously, then I can't date this person. And I want to date this person. Then I have to give, and I don't want to be generous. Then I'm going to have to, you know, forgive, and I don't want to forgive. Whatever the issues are, but there becomes this, no, God doesn't have the best for me, you know what? And then Satan comes in. I said it Wednesday, I'll say it again, it's so good, I believe that you really need to hear this. And here's the thing, the lie that Satan got Eve, here's the lie that Satan got Eve with. You can reap and you won't sow. You can reap and you won't sow. God has said that when you eat that fruit, you're going to die. But let me tell you what, and here's what Satan said to Eve. You won't die. You will not die. That's what he said. You will not die. See, here's the lie. You can sow to the flesh and you won't reap corruption. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because let me tell you what, when you sow to the flesh, whatever that means, and can I tell you what, I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know what the sin is. Here's what I hear the Holy, when I came in today, I'm having a good day. I'm like, la, la, la. You know, I'm like, our God is an awesome God, he reigns. You know what? And I'm sitting there in the front seat, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me. How many believe that God still speaks to people? Well, you should believe that because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And God started to speak to me, and he said, here's what I see happening, and here's what you need to share with the congregation. There are issues. I'm going to talk about what issues there are. But I don't know what the detail is. For some of you, you know what? You're in a relationship, and it's ungodly, and you need to get out of the relationship. For some others of you, you know what? You're just not generous, and you need to be generous. For some of you, you're not serving. For some of you, it could be something as simple as, you know what? You need to stop smoking. You know what? I wanted to say stop drinking soda, and I said stop smoking. Okay, and I don't even know what you're smoking, amen? So I'll just leave that up to the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We're in church, and we're thinking nobody's smoking nothing. But how many know the Holy Spirit knows somebody's smoking something? I said, how many know the Holy Spirit knows somebody's smoking something? Okay, going back, maybe I'm smiling, right? Maybe he's saying something as simple as, you know what? You're drinking too much soda pop. Maybe he's saying something, you know what? Maybe he's saying you really are wasting your life by just playing too many games. Too many video games. You know what I mean? See, I don't know what he's saying. I'm not here to judge what he's saying. But here's what I heard the Holy Spirit say. You need to minister to the people. And you need to tell them this. Here's the word I got this morning. That there's this resistance. There's this resistance to give up what I've asked you to give up. Now listen very carefully. Here's what I knew in my spirit. That what he was saying is, there have been messages in the past. You go to Hope. This is your home. And you've come here, and you've heard the message. And you've sat, and you've thought, you know what? If I can just, there's been this Holy Spirit, conviction by the Holy Spirit to whatever the issue is. To let go what you have gripped, whatever that is. But in the course of time, you knew, instead of admitting and releasing and repenting and falling on your knees and getting before your face and saying, it's me, God has called me out. And I want to say this publicly. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to give any details, but I want to raise up my hand, Pastor. I want you to pray with me. I want to, today I'm going to stop holding that sin. I'm going to stop gripping it. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to say it like this, to break me, to fix me. I'm going to allow him to do that. But instead, you white-knuckled it. You sat here on a seat, on a maroon seat, you know what, in Hope Community Church with the Holy Spirit dealing with you, with the Holy Spirit speaking to you directly, and you knew it was you, but you just white-knuckled it. You just said, you know what, if I can just think of something else, if I can just play dodgeball, if I can just pretend, if I can just wait for 15 seconds more, then Pastor will be done, and then I know Pastor Tama will get up and she'll say something, and I'll white-knuckle it then, but eventually she'll get onto the announcements, and thank God you are dismissed, and oh, praise God, and hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Now I'm going to go out, and I'm going to eat a chicken bowl. And I made it. And you don't understand the love of a father. Because dad doesn't correct except that he loves you. He's not trying to pry something out of your hand because he's trying to take something out of your hand. He's trying to pry that poison out of your hand because he's a loving God and he knows how much that will hurt you. Come on quickly up on the stage. I want to use an example. So is God going to use Israel today? I don't know. Does God want to use Israel today? He absolutely wants to use Israel today. Does God want to use you today? Absolutely. If you don't believe, listen, all Israel needs to know, he's got all the proof in the world that God wants to use him. The proof is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, should have everlasting life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life to the fullness. Every single one of you, God wants to use you in a crazy mighty, powerful. You are an influential person if you will just submit your will and your desires to the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide you and to lead you and to direct your life. If you will humble out, is God going to use this young man? I don't know. Does God want to use him? Absolutely, he wants to use him. But let me tell you what God will never do. He will never push him to serve him. Because he doesn't work that way. He will lead him. He will ask him. He will direct him. He will speak to him. And he will say, I want that foot right here. And then he will tell him, and I want that foot right here. And I want that foot right here. And can you put that foot right here? And if this young man will be willing and obedient to be directed by the Holy Spirit, that he would not resist the specific directions that God gives, then you and I will look and we'll see God radically, mightily using him. Is this making sense to anybody? But let me tell you what God will not do. God will never push him and force him and make him serve him. He won't. He will not do that. Because to do that would be to violate his free will. And God won't violate his free will. Thank you. So the question is, Pastor, what is, let me say it like this. Here's what I heard God saying. He reminded me of what John Bevere taught me one time. So you're in the front row, or you're in the second row, or you're in the last row, or you're in the middle row, you're in the middle section, you're in this section, you're in that section. I don't know where you are. I don't know what day it was. I don't know whether it was a Sunday or a Wednesday. I don't know if it's been one Sunday or one Wednesday. For all I know, it's been gradual. It's been, you know what, you've been resisting God for a long time. Let me make this clear, folks. This message is not, I'm not preaching this over at Home Depot. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? I'm not preaching this to people who aren't serving God, who are outside the family of God, or outside I'm not preaching this to unchurched people. I got this message today as I sat there in the front row, and God spoke to me and said, you need to call people out, and not call people out individually, but you need to call them out. This needs to be a different message. It needs to be a message where you're saying, there's been a resistance to what I've asked you to do, and here's what I'm saying, what John Bevere taught me. John Bevere taught me this. He said this, that when you do that, when the Holy Spirit is asking you to, whatever it is, to give, to forgive, to break up, to reset, to whatever he's telling you, stop smoking, you know what, stop drinking, stop sexing it up, stop whatever it is,
Whatever that is, even if it's something as simple as you need to, you know, for some of you, God is saying you need to serve like you've never served before. Understand what Jesus said. Jesus said there will be a day. Please understand this. Jesus is coming back soon. I love what I heard one pastor say. It was such a good word picture. He said, if you came into your house, Tamara, help me remember John Bevere. When you came into your house, if you saw that the somebody had the teapot and they left the fire on and it was blowing, you know, like it does, and smoke and but nothing was on fire. How many know you would go to that teapot at a certain pace? And it wouldn't be like, oh, you know what I mean? It might be like, hey, you know, right? But he said this, but if you came in and you looked over in your kitchen and you saw that there were flames, how many know you'd react in a different pace? And here's what that pastor said then. He said, and he was speaking mainly to pastors. He said, pastors, we need to understand, you know what? The building is on fire. And we are acting like the teapot has been left on. Let me say that to you. As I heard, you know, the Holy Spirit right now. How many know that the good preaching needs to be prophetic preaching? This is just a side note. I'm getting into my sermon next week. But you know what? When I preach a sermon, I've got all kinds of notes. I've got all kinds of passages of scripture. And I just write something after each passage because I want to make sure I mean, I'm not that smart to know every passage what it is. So I'll just write a little note after it. And then I'll come up here and I'll pray and I'll allow the Holy Spirit to pick and choose where we're going and what I'm going to say. So I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us and saying to us, guys, oh, I know what it was. It was when I start talking about serving, there's an attitude of serving that's just like, oh. And we have to serve differently. Because the Holy Spirit, there is a lot of work that Hope has to do in a little bit of time. And there's just way too much casualness in, well, we'll get around to it when we'll get around to it. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, there will be, understand this, there right now is daytime. But nighttime is coming. And when nighttime is coming, you won't be able to serve anymore. John Bevere said this, and maybe it's you, but you've resisted. And listen, and you might come every Sunday and every Wednesday, but do me a favor, don't think this is not talking about you. Don't automatically just blow this off. But John Bevere said this, that you will be changed every single time you are given an opportunity to choose. Here's what he meant by this. If you submit to the Holy Spirit as he's saying, come down front, get on your knees, repent, however the Holy Spirit directs me at the end, raise your hand. If God has said something to you, if you need to forgive, if you need to give, if you need to serve, if you need to, whatever message we're preaching, and if you know what, if you respond to God, then your life will be changed. But John Bevere said, your life will always be changed. Because we think, oh, I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not responding. No, you're responding. You know how you're responding? You're responding by saying, no. I hear what you're saying, but I'll act like I don't know what you're saying. Hello? Hello? I know you never experienced this. You know what? Somebody's calling you. And you'll just act like, oh, I didn't hear them. Hello? No. And we play that in church all the time. And God is calling you out today. He's calling you out today. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, fine, you can play that game. You can play that game. But let me tell you what. It's a game that you're playing with yourself because I know what's going on. And let me tell you what's happening. And you can fake yourself out. But what John Bevere said and what I hear the Holy Spirit telling us today is every time you say no to the Holy Spirit, you are changed. Let me tell you how you're changed. When you say no to the Holy Spirit, your heart gets a little harder. And it's a very dangerous game to play. Let me tell you why. Because next time, your heart, it's easier for you to say no to God. And next time, it's easier for you to say no to God. And next time, it's easier for you to say no to God. And God is warning us this morning and saying, you know what? You've developed this so long that you are running out of time. And you are getting harder and harder and harder. And it's the place where I can barely, you're coming to church, but you're not hearing anything I'm saying anymore. Wow. That's what you got in the front row this morning? That's what I got. That's what the Holy Spirit said. So, Pastor, what are you going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to ask you. And listen, if you can't get on your knees, I understand that, but get on your knees on your heart. But listen, let me tell you what we're going to do in a minute. I'm going to ask you to get on your knees, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to repent. And I'm going to ask you to repent. And I'm going to ask you to pray out to God. And I'm going to ask you to cry out to God for forgiveness. I'm going to ask you to do it. I can't do it for you. So if you want to get on your knees, and you can get on your knees, and then you're just all like, oh, because I'm quiet, because that's what I do, because like I'm a quiet person, and I don't care what pastor says to do. That's how I always do. You know what? Isaac says, raise our hands to the Lord. I don't raise my hands to the Lord. Isaac says, sing. I don't sing. Pastor says, get on your knees and repent. I don't repent. Listen, I can't pray for you. I can't repent for you, and I can't pray for you. I mean, I can't pray. I can pray over you. I can pray with you. But my prayer of repentance, I can't do that for you. Amen? I'm going to ask you right now to get on your knees and start, listen, with no music going. Yeah, praise God. We don't have no, Isaac can't play anything. Amen? That's good. Because God wants to hear us. God doesn't want to hear music. God wants to hear us repenting. God wants to hear us praying. God wants to hear you cry out for your hardness and asking for forgiveness of your sin. For when he asked you 3 weeks ago to do something and you didn't do it, when he asked you 4 weeks ago, when he asked you 8 weeks ago, when he asked you last Wednesday, when he asked you whenever, maybe he's speaking to you today, and he's just saying, guys, I love you. But his example, but I won't force you to do anything. And I can't lead you to the promised land. I can't lead you to the ground. I so want to minister to your family. I so want to minister to your marriage. I can fix your marriage. I can help you minister to your kids. But the problem is you're not listening to a word I'm saying. You're hearing me, but you're not hearing me to do. You hear to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, what a great sermon that was. Pat me on the back and go, good, you preached so good, Pastor. Just because you pat me on the back and say you preached so good, Pastor, doesn't mean that you're hearing from God. And I can't pray for you, but I can lead you. I can tell you what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. So right now, yeah, but somebody's looking at me. Get over it. This is so much more important than what somebody's looking at you. Right now, you know what? Yeah, but my kids would see me. Good. Your kids need to see you. get on your knees, and I want you to start crying out to God.
Oh, Father, help us. Oh, Father, we cry out. Oh, Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins. Help me, God. Help us, God. Oh, help us, God. Help us, God. More. Yes, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, how about you? Yes, God.
Father, I thank you for people who are have a willingness to hear what you have to say. Father, I thank you that we would have soft, pliable hearts, Father. I pray that we would have heard what you're saying to us. I pray that this Sunday will be different in that we're hearing what you're saying. Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, you may sit down. Praise God.
I just had a couple of scriptures I wanted to share on that truth that every time you come and hear the word of God, either you receive the word and it changes you, or you reject the word and it changes you. But you're always changed. One way or the other. This is in Ephesians 4:18. It says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. And then Matthew 13:14-15. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, then I would heal them. Is such an important moment for us to recognize. You'll see in the Word of God, it's really interesting. There'll be preaching that'll be taking place by one of the apostles, and then the Word tells us, and the people were cut to the heart. And they became angry, and they started gnashing their teeth and saying, kill them. Then you'll see where the apostles are preaching, and the word tells us, and the people were cut to the heart. And they said, what must we do? So there's either this receiving of the Spirit of God, as he, what does the Word of God do? It guides, it teaches, it corrects those whom he loves. So we either receive that, and we walk in the blessing of that, or we reject it and we think that there's another opportunity. But what the word is so clear on, and what John Bevere was saying, is so dangerous, and you see this backed up in the Word of God. You can reject and always think that there's another day. But the problem is, you're changed every single time. What's happening? This dullness. See, you're putting yourself in almost a no-win situation when we resist God. The scripture that gives indication that there's many, is the word that the Bible uses. Many will say to me, but Lord, Lord, we did this and we did that in your name. See, these are God's people. They're calling him Lord. And they're talking about their, if you will, their Christian walk. We did this in your name and we did that in your name. And what does the Bible tell us that he says to them? He tells them, depart from me, because I never even knew you. And so this condition of our heart is huge, huge. That God is, that when we're cut to the heart, that we receive the correction of God, amen? And that we, that's why he's set it up. See, God already knows we need him. But that we would be humble and sensitive, that we would repent. And why do we repent? We repent so that times of refreshing can come. And then the Spirit of God, you know what, we can start, begin to hear and see, and we just begin to move differently because the Spirit of God is working in us, and it can take us to that good place. Amen? Amen. Whew, thank you, Jesus. That's good. Yes, sir, please.
I need a good, very good translator for English to Spanish to English. I think it's not here, but I can live without saying this. I can live without what the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to confirm what the Holy Spirit gave to pastors. There is a person here that they are in greater danger. Pastor Drew asked me if I had something from the Holy Spirit. At that time, I was enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong. Yes, since we started singing, and then with the play was powerful, and the Holy Spirit is talking or speaking not just to one person. He's speaking so to several persons, and I can live without say this. I'm not going up to no voy a añadir nada a la predicación.
I'm not going to add anything to the preaching or to the Bible.
Porque el Espíritu Santo habló.
Because the Holy Spirit spoke.
Solamente quiero confirmar.
I just want to confirm.
Dios está llamando quien quiera que seas.
God is calling the person I'm talking about.
A una vida de santidad.
For a life of sanctification and holiness.
Deja el pecado.
Leave your sin.
Suéltalo.
Let go of it.
Porque el pecado te va a matar.
The sin's going to kill you.
Y Dios está dando el llamado.
And God's calling you.
La oportunidad.
The opportunity.
Para hacerlo en este día.
To do it in this day.
No te vayas.
Don't leave.
Sin
without
decirle al Señor.
Without telling God.
Perdóname.
Forgive me.
Aquí estoy.
Here I am.
Pero cuando lo hagas,
but when you do it,
tienes que decidirte.
You have to make the decision.
A dejar de hacer lo que estás haciendo.
To stop doing what you're doing.
Quien quiera que seas.
Whoever it may be.
Recibe el llamado.
Receive the calling.
Amoroso de Dios. Amoroso.
Oh, sorry. Of the loving God.
Que Dios está haciendo.
That God is doing.
Yo quiero que inclines su rostro.
I want you guys to bow your heads.
Solamente quiero confirmar.
I just want to confirm
lo que el Espíritu Santo,
what the Holy Spirit
dio al pastor,
gave Pastor Drew.
Si tú sabes,
if you know,
que el Espíritu Santo,
that the Holy Spirit
te está hablando,
is talking to you,
no te vayas,
do not leave,
sin hacer la decisión,
without making the decision.
Escúchame,
listen to me.
El pecado,
the sin,
te va a matar,
is going to kill you.
La vida,
the life,
no está en tus manos.
It's not in your hands.
Está en las manos de Dios.
It's in the hands of God.
Y él mira,
and he sees
más lejos,
farther,
de lo que puedes mirar,
than what you can see.
Este día,
this day,
puede ser,
can be,
tu último llamado,
your final warning,
la última oportunidad,
your last opportunity.
No te vayas.
Do not leave.
El que tenga oídos para oír,
those who have ears,
oiga lo que el Espíritu Santo,
hear what the Spirit of God is saying,
dice a la iglesia,
says the church.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? Respond to God. Amen. It's important. It's important. Anything? I'm just going to... Yeah, this is a different Sunday. It's an important Sunday. Amen. May every Sunday be... Listen, you know why we've gathered? We've gathered to worship God. We need God. In Him, we live and move and have our being. And anything outside of Him and what He's saying to us and what He has for us, we don't need it. The Bible says that God corrects those whom He loves. It's a good moment as God is loving us and trying to help us. And it's so important that we do not resist God. Amen? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Gosh, I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. I hope you are too. What will we do without Him? What will we do without Him? I can't even imagine what it was like for the disciples who were with Jesus, who had Jesus, when He told them, no, it's a good thing that I'm leaving. What? How could that be? Think of how awesome He is. And they were with Him day in and day out, and they saw the awesomeness. They were in His presence all the time. They watched Him. And then He tells them, no, it's good, I'm leaving. But the reason why it was good is that the Holy Spirit would come. And that's what we have. Jesus said that what we have is better than what the disciples had who were with Him, the first 12. Wow. It is better. And if you haven't tasted and seen that it's better, then let today be the first day of the rest of your life of just a new way of coming to the Lord and a new way of knowing Him. Amen? Amen. Okay, well, thank you, everyone who is part of the drama. Thank you so much. It takes a lot of work and effort. So grateful. Pastor George, thank you very much. One of the things, if it's your first time here at Hope, every service isn't like this. Every service is whatever the Holy Spirit tells us to do. We're a Spirit-led church. It's one of the things that is one of the pillars that we have here. We do not want to come together in a routine, you know what, from our worship all the way to out on the grass as we fellowship. We want to come together and let the Spirit of God be the one who is the director. Amen? Amen. So today... we have what did Josh call them? Some Texas chicken bowls. Sure. Okay. So we have some Texas chicken bowls out there. There's rice, beans, and some grilled chicken. So grab a bowl. It helps us support what we're doing down in the youth room. We're just about finished down there with the bathrooms and a few other things. So we're gonna be able to show you some final pictures soon and very soon. You ever have something just stretch out? Feels like it just kept on going and going with, like, I feel like the Energizer Bunny down there, Pastor George, with that project. It's just one of those projects that's just kind of stretching because we got a lot going on, so we're chipping at it a little bit slower than we want to, but it's almost done. You probably think, whatever happened down there? It's not done. That's why you never saw the final stuff, but it's coming soon and very soon, and we'll show you some of the final things. But as you have lunch with us and enjoy lunch yourself, you also help us with everything that we're doing down there, so we appreciate that. We love you and God loves you. Grab some chicken bowls. You can get them to go or you can have them here.
Guys in the back, could you put the advertisement for my father's service?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Yeah. So many of you know that Pastor Drew's dad passed away, and so the services are not here at Hope. Say it again. We're not at Hope. They're not at Hope. They're going to be at the church where Drew's mom goes, and that's where the services are going to be, and that's when they're going to be. So we wanted to be sure and let everyone know. And we love you and appreciate all your prayers that you have just offered to us and our family. And yeah, there it is.